Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is from Mark 12, 28 through 34, the New Revised Standard Version. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and with all, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question.
Thank you, Becky. Love is a word that we use so prolifically in our shared cultural vocabulary, we might assume that it is abundant in our world. Many other things, as we know, are currently in short supply. Toys, turkeys, toilet paper. But love, just based on our usage of the word alone, appears to be plentiful, alive and well and kicking. We hear the word love used in all kinds of classic quotes that have become a part of our culture. And I'm wondering if you have any favorites. I'm so glad Craig is here because I know he's got some. "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Love will keep us together. Love means never having to say."
No.
You're sorry. No, I know, but that's how it goes. Love is something if you give it away. Any Girl Scouts out there? You remember love is something if you
magic
give it away?
Penny.
It's just like a magic penny. Any others? You got any other favorite love quotes? "Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." All kinds of them. And also we use the word love in more casual ways in our daily lives all the time. What are some of the things and the people that you love? If I started the sentence, "I love ma," how would you fill in the blank?
Ice cream.
I love ice cream. What else do you love?
Animals.
San Diego.
Barbecue.
Art. Sunshine.
Our
books.
Church.
Travel.
Parties.
Flowers.
Movies with Craig.
Peanut butter. What would you say?
Movies with Craig.
Yeah. There you go. So love is a word is so familiar to us, and we use it in such different contexts and in such broad sweeping ways that it's sometimes hard to get a handle on just exactly what it means. C.S. Lewis once said that love is a word that is overused and therefore undervalued. And I truly understand what he was saying, but there's part of me that's okay with all of this love language floating around out there. It's not bad, necessarily. It could be a lot worse, but its generous usage should nudge us to wrestle a bit with what exactly we mean when we say the word love. And I'd say that perhaps that's even truer for people of faith who encountered this word love in our sacred texts as well. Love shows up in all kinds of different ways in the Bible, and we see that most certainly in our reading for today. The Bible records many interactions between Jesus and the scribes who were religious leaders in Judaism. Almost always, those interactions were laced with challenge, suspicion, or downright animosity. But remarkably, that doesn't appear to be the case here. No, in this passage, it's clear that the scribe liked what he was hearing from Jesus and asked a question out of sincere interest. And the question he asked, of course, which of the commandments is first of all? Which is the greatest of all? It was a commonly debated issue among religious folk of that day and age. And while the scribe asked for one answer, Jesus gave him two. He said, the first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." These words from Deuteronomy would have been very, very familiar to this scribe. They're known as the Shema, and they're a prayer or a statement about God in Jewish tradition that's to be said at the beginning and the end of every day. If you've ever seen a mezuzah, you know what that is? The small rectangular box at the front door of a Jewish friend's home, maybe. It's these words that are printed on the scroll inside of that little box. They're grounding words for the Jewish community, ones to come back to again and again and again. And then Jesus went on to add, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, these are words that are straight out of Hebrew scripture. They come from Leviticus. Jesus draws these two commandments side by side and says, there is no other commandment greater than these. They're not number one and number two. No, when they stand together with equal emphasis, they are greatest. The scribe with whom Jesus was interacting not only affirmed Jesus' response, but went on to add an additional thought, if you noticed. He said, "You are right, teacher. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And it's interesting to note that they had this conversation in the temple, the place where people came to offer their sacrifices. That's quite possibly why the scribe was there in the first place. But he then put into words something that was entirely consistent with Jesus' ministry, that the rituals of religious practice, as important as they may be, would never supersede the living into the fundamental spirit of religion, described by Jesus as love of God and love of neighbor. And as we go back to think about our broad and eclectic notions of love, it's helpful to remember that the love about which Jesus spoke was not the pink and red, mushy, gushy, heart-shaped love that is so trendy in our culture. And don't get me wrong, I am not criticizing any of that stuff. I have dish towels and socks and pencils and dog beds and a whole host of other things with adorable little hearts on them. I love that stuff. But the love about which Jesus spoke, a love that was grounded in Jewish tradition, was different than that. It was weightier. It was demanding at times. It sometimes required sacrifice. It also brought the greatest reward. It was not a feeling or a sentiment or an emotion. No, it was a way of life, a way of living and being and moving in the world. You may have heard the word agape before. It's the type of love that Jesus shared, the love of God that constantly seeks the well-being of others. It differs from other types of love found in the Bible, namely love of family or friends or romantic love. those loves in large part have a strong emotional component. But agape love, the love demonstrated by Jesus, the love we're invited to receive and then to give to others, is love in action. Frederick Buechner, Presbyterian minister and author, says it this way. In the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of the will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he is not telling us to love them in the sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can as well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, he is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being. Thus, in Jesus's terms, we can love our neighbors without necessarily liking them, Buechner says. This call to enact love in the world among those we like and those we may not like is a call to agape love, to be the love of Christ in the world, with and for and among everyone. And that, as we probably all know, is no easy task, is it? That is often hard to do. As the Bible points out, it's pretty easy to love the people we already like. It's not nearly as easy to love the people we don't. And it's even harder still to love the people who we might sometimes perceive to be our enemies. Author Anne Lamott is a favorite of mine, and I know that some of you read her too. She is quirky and truthful and blunt and down to earth. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And in her book called Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith, she reflects on this call to agape love, this commandment to love our neighbors, every last one of them, saying this. She says, why couldn't Jesus command us to obsess over everything, to try to control and manipulate people, to try not to breathe at all or to pay attention, stomp away to brood when people annoy us, and then eat a big bag of Hershey's Kisses in bed? Why couldn't Jesus command us to do that, she asks? Because that'd be easier, right? That's what comes more naturally, at least for some of us. But no, Jesus commands us to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. Simple, simple words, really, that take a lifetime of intention, of perhaps trying and failing and trying again to live into. One of the more curious aspects of this scripture passage before us today is Jesus's response to the scribes' affirmation and words about this commandment being more important than any ritual sacrifice. The scripture says that Jesus thought the scribe answered wisely, and then he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And there's been some debate about just what Jesus might have meant by that. Was it a compliment, or was it a criticism, or was it a little of both? You're moving in the right direction, but you're not quite there yet. Right or wrong, I'm going to err on the side of hearing these words as ones of encouragement, because getting near the kingdom of God sounds pretty darn good to me. And the truth is, as human beings, we're probably rarely, if ever there, fully arrived smack dab in the middle of kingdom living. But hopefully, we're moving in that direction. Hopefully, we're always on the path of moving in that direction. And our movement in that direction, just by the nature of our being human, will likely be anything but linear. We will have bumps in the road. There will be days of two steps forward and one step back. On Monday, I may be near the kingdom, and by Tuesday, I may have stumbled off the path a bit. But if we align ourselves with this commandment, love of God and love of neighbor, we will be on our way. If we do our best to not just believe it in our heads and our hearts, but to live it in every action of our lives, we will be well on the way. Dorotheus of Gaza was a Christian monk who offered us an image that has been helpful and meaningful to me, so I wanted to share it with you. He said, imagine that the world is a circle, that God is the center, and that the radii are the different ways human beings live. When those who wish to come closer to God walk towards the center of the circle, they come closer to one another at the same time as to God. The closer they come to God, the closer they come to one another. And the closer they come to one another, the closer they come to God. In this day and age, we might imagine a wagon or a bicycle wheel with spokes that go out to the rim of the outer circle. If God is at the center and the spokes are people, neighbors, if you will, the easy ones and the difficult ones and everyone in between, we will necessarily come closer to others as we seek to move closer to God at the center and vice versa. Those movements are inseparable. As I said before, love is a word that we use so prolifically in our shared cultural vocabulary that we might assume that it is abundant in the world. And I think, honestly, that's a fair assumption. We human beings love love in all of its different forms. We seek love, not always perfectly, but we strive for love. And not only because we sense that it's the greatest of all the gifts, as the Bible says, but because we know the love of God sought us first. How can we help? How can we help but respond with all our hearts and souls, with all our mind and strength, with all our choices and actions? Thanks be to God who loved us into being, who loves us in our here and now, and who invites us into a lifelong journey of loving God back by putting that holy love into. Let us pray. Loving and gracious and almighty God, we truly do spend our lifetimes coming to know you and the love with which you hold us. We are so grateful to lean into that love, to lean into that life that you offer us. And we are grateful for signs of your grace and for dear companions on that journey. We are grateful to be able to gather in this beautiful space to say thank you to you and to offer back a part of our heartfelt gratitude, knowing the abundance of your goodness and your care in our lives. We come, O God, from different weeks. We've all had different experiences. Some of us have had wonderful weeks. Some of us have had perhaps the most difficult of weeks that we could imagine. And so we come with joys and we come with sorrows. We come with celebrations and we come with some desperately heavy burdens. And we know that all of that finds a safe space here, that all of that finds a safe and caring space with you. We pray for places of need, whether they are needs in our own lives or in the lives of people that we know and love, or in places where people are in need, their names unknown to us, but surely known to you who loves them. We pray for healing. We pray for hope. We pray for light and encouragement. We pray for strength and sustenance. We pray for the right people to come along in each place of need, that they might witness to your care that is in person, in the flesh, that is up close and personal, that each person might know that they are not alone. You have truly shined your light. You continue to shine your light into our hearts. And we pray that day by day you would transform us, that you would use us, that you would forgive us when we stumble, that you would set us back on the path always, that we might shine your light out to others. We pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.